You know that thing you've always been too scared to go for? It seems like you'll never have the guts. Then a cancer diagnosis. And doing that thing becomes way less scary. I would know. I've always wanted a black belt. And today, the only thing standing in my way is a few wooden boards. It's been a lot of hard work and 5 years since I beat cancer at Ohio Health. Bring it on. You keep making plans.
Visit ohiohealth.com/keepmakingplans to learn more.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
With arms wide open.
Always dreamed of being a concert singer, and you know how they hold that and they really get into it.
Yeah. They say athletes want to be rock stars and rock stars want to be athletes. So
what do podcasters want to be?
Just podcasters. Once podcasters get a taste of the life, there's nothing else they want to be but podcasters.
I might have mentioned this earlier in the week, but if I didn't, I ran into these two people at a hotel. Eric Church was in Arizona last weekend, played at I think he might have played where the Suns play on Saturday night. And we ran into people coming down. No, I think he played in Phoenix and or maybe Glendale, but he didn't play at the football stadium, but he played at a smaller venue. And the people coming down the, you know, the elevator on small talk, you know, where are you guys from, Denver? What are you guys doing here? We just saw Eric Church last night. And you're like, and I was like, how was it? And the guy just looked at me. He's like, it was a religious experience. He said, there were no opening acts. There was no one. It was Eric Church for 3 hours.
That's
and he's
incredible.
Like, he gave us, I couldn't have asked for anything more out of a performer when you're paying to see someone you like. Three hours of just, you know, rocking.
That was his return performance for canceling for the Final Four.
Oh yeah. But then I thought, like,
Carolina fan,
if that is what you're going to do time in and time out, like, people will get over the fact that he went to, you know, the North Carolina Final Four.
All I want out of a live performance is your hits and covers. If I get your hits and covers, to me, covers are, when we went and saw Garth, did he do any covers? I don't remember. He's got so many hits.
Yeah. I think one problem for Garth, and love the guy, and he's the most important person in the history of country music. It's not even close. One of the most important artists in the history of music in general. He hasn't made a hit in 20 years. You know, I mean,
so what?
No, but I know.
My problem is I can't find the hits I like. I have to go to like walmart.com to listen to his music.
But there are a lot of I would say in country, like George Strait's been making hits for 35 years. Like, it's
what's George
crazy.
Strait's last hit?
I mean, probably within the last decade, we could find a couple. His first big hits were in the 80s. He was making hits through we were in college.
Yeah. I mean, George Strait, they say, is like one of the hardest working men in country music, right?
Yeah.
But he's made a hit in the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, maybe like 08, 09. I mean, I think the 2000s, he started in like the early 80s.
Yeah.
My point is, Garth, all of his hits came within like 5-year window. Now, they were incredible. I mean, you could say the same thing about like Pearl Jam. I mean,
yeah, Garth had like 3 albums that were just In Pieces. Was it Horses? There's one with it's Red and Black. There's Blue and White. And there's Black and White. Those are the 3 albums I remember.
They were good. Yeah, I'm not disputing his ceiling, but he just hasn't had any pitches in 20 years.
You can get
George is older. Like Garth.
No, George. I know.
Garth tried. They just hasn't worked.
No. Because all of his songs now are just peace and love. Have you noticed?
I guess that's my point. Is that I went to the concert with you, and it's like every time he's like, "I got a new one for you guys." You're like, "No."
All right, John. The chat is up in arms over Arm Fitness. I guess somebody said something about Arm Fitness. I couldn't care less. But it's something. I don't know. Somebody said about Trey somewhere.
What's Arm Fitness?
You'd have to ask the chat. Somebody said it lacks arm fitness. I don't know.
Skinny arms?
That's a new one. It's a new one. I guess it's a new one. Better rivalry going right now. Jimbo versus Nick Saban or Warriors fans versus Charles Barkley?
I'd say there's more vitriol. Every single Warriors fan that's talking shit to Charles would gladly hang out with them, drink some beers with them, play golf with them. Like they want to like him. If they were in a situation where they were sitting with them, they would have fun. I think there's real like the kerosene got thrown on the fire. I really think it's a little Michael Jordan-esque. Not saying that Nick tried to like get motivation somewhere, but I think he kind of likes that stuff. And if you're Jimbo, this is a BP fastball to get some motivation. It's kind of just
cheap. I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
So if you missed the story, we won't do a full recap of it, but Saban said A&M bought all their players. Jimbo called an emergency press conference today to deny it and took a lot of shots, but called him a narcissist like 3 times.
Thinks he's God.
He thinks he's God. Said that twice. Asked about upcoming SEC meetings. Said, I love confrontation. It's just an incredible performance.
Like acting like they're going to shove each other? I mean.
Yes. He's like, well, you know, it's going to be awkward. It's like, awkward. I like confrontation.
Well, do you think. Incredible. You remember like when the peak of Bryce and Koepka were like, they should play together, even though they never would. They do stagger. You know, the SEC media day is like 4 days and like 2 or 3 coaches a day. Is there any doubt in your mind that they're both talking on the same day and they'll be in the hotel the same day? Or do they put one on Tuesday and one on Thursday?
They got to be there same time.
But if Nick doesn't want
you wouldn't really want. I don't think you'd want to be the guy that's gone when the other guy is still talking, because then the other guy gets the last word.
Well, I think Nick, who is the most important person in the history of the conference, right? If he says, I want to go last, they're going to let him go last, right?
Yes, I think so. Although, you know, we could have some the AD at Texas A&M, John Ross Bjork.
Why is his hair all over the place?
said that Saban's comments violate SEC sportsmanship bylaws, and he's going to be in contact with the SEC commissioner.
Well, because in fairness to like people on the outside, it's not a good look for Nick to be throwing those words around, right?
Well, no, I think I saw somebody say this on Twitter today, and it's honor among thieves. Like everyone's always understood, like, hey, there's a way everything operates. I don't turn you in. You don't turn me in. Because somebody said that used to be, SEC used to be, these guys were turning each other in all the time. And then everyone kind of got on the same page. And all of a sudden, there's no reported violations, you know?
I always kind of appreciate Tark's. Tark just called people out. He'd be like, oh, yeah, Lutz is giving people cars.
You know? Even though he's doing the same stuff.
Yeah, he was cheating his ass off.
Yeah. Alabama and Georgia combined for the same number of 5 stars that A&M had, 8 in this last recruiting class. I mean, Jimbo's thing is like, whatever the collective does is not my problem, which it is ultimately going to be the problem of the schools if the collective's cheap. But they asked Jimbo about collectives. He's like, I don't know who gives what, when, who gives why, how. I don't know what it's about. And that was that, which I think is his key defense. It's like, I don't know what the collective's doing.
Maybe he's a narcissist, you know?
It's incredible. So that was good. The Chuck, I said this the other day, and I think we
Chuck told someone he'd fuck his mom.
Fuck his mom. rabbit ears or bunny ears or earmuffs.
Yeah, apologize earmuffs. For the kids. Not your Sorry. Mom, but the guy's yeah. mom.
Chuck yelled, if you missed the video, fans were heckling Chuck at the Warrior game, and that's what he said to him.
And I would imagine the guy that was yelling is probably over 30 or 40. Right?
They all started cheering when Chuck said it to him. You know, just all you want is the reaction. But I think Charles versus the Warriors is, I think, the best thing the NBA, truly the best thing from a marketing standpoint the NBA has had since Steph since Mark Jackson's Warriors came of age. Chuck saying jump shooting team can't win the championship, because here's the deal. Everybody watches Steph. No matter who your favorite team is, you watch Steph. The whole country watches Steph. And everybody watches Chuck. And everybody has an opinion on all the things Chuck says. And everybody had an opinion on Steph. And they just keep coming together. It's just so fantastic.
Does feel that he's pivoted a little off the take on the Warriors.
Well, once they won 3 titles, he had to back off it a little bit. Once they won 1 title, he got kind of crushed, right?
Well, he doubled down that year when they won their first title. Remember Memphis? He's like, tough team's going to take these little wussies out. And then it was like they ended up kind of rolling to the championship. Yeah, that was it's an all-timer. I get so much joy out of talking shit or surrounding the Warriors. Like, I do get the understand of, like, the true diehard guys that have been kind of defending for years. And I always thought, like, why do you need to defend? Well, I would say the last couple years you've kind of had to, like, the Warriors have been down. Even this year, it's like, oh, they're not going to do shit. Kind of felt like, you know, are we watching the same team, guys? Have you seen these guys' resumes? Like, for the first time, I've not felt, because I was like, Steph doesn't need anyone to defend him. But it does feel a little bit like, hey, guys, boys are back in town. Remember the guys that built this thing? And I love, oh, Kevin Durant. Yeah, had to come here. LeBron had to go join people every fucking time. Every time. And let's face it, he's got 3.5 championships.
Yeah, that's generous. I don't count. I mean, bubble title.
Guy, no one worth their salt counts it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a fake championship.
It'll be on his wiki, so people who didn't watch it one day won't realize. But, you know, it's somebody. I had a few people push back, so to speak, on Twitter, because I said what I think we've talked about before. I'm not breaking any news here. Fans love homegrown teams, like their own guys. It's just better. It's more fun. You're more connected to it.
Yeah.
And the Warriors are that. I mean, actually, the Bay Area, the Giants were that. The Warriors are that. I think some Warrior fan. That's why the Kevin thing was uncomfortable.
Kyle Shanahan and Harbaugh's runs were mainly felt.
Oh, yeah, Trey Lance. Yeah. but I think Kevin, that's what part of the reason Kevin was never fully beloved by Warrior fans, because they'd rather do it without him. What?
Yeah, I almost said C.J. Stroud, but that's not his name. It's C.J. Yeah. Beathard. I'm with you. This team is much more enjoyable than Kevin being around.
I just think you'd rather do it with your own. You'd rather come. It is the oldest saying in the book, right? It's the journey, not the destination. It's doing it with your people, your squad.
And
right?
To me, you get credit. Like, Wiggins now kind of feels just like a Warrior. Like, they've created him. Like, they've got him. They put him under his wing, and then they just kind of cultivate him.
So much of it is like, I knew you before you were good. You know what I mean? Like, before everyone else knew you, I was in early on you. And Wiggins fits that bill.
Yeah. But then they still have some of their, like, they just got this guy Looney that had bad hips, and he's just been starting for him for 6 years. He's going to end his career with, like, 7 championships. Like,
people didn't want him.
You're going to meet Looney when he's 40. You're like, could this guy play in the NBA? You're like, yeah, I started for the Warriors for a decade. Every one of their teams. Me, Kevon Looney.
Jersey retirement?
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. Love the guy.
That's what, remember, did they ever retire? Remember when Joe Lacob said one day they'd retire Kevin Durant's jersey? Are they still standing by that?
You said it at the time to try to get him to come back, right? Or was he already gone?
I thought he was already gone, and he was just being a good, I wouldn't say a good loser, but like he was just being classy.
Yeah.
But did you really mean it? In the moment, it sounded like a good thing to say.
I remember, I think Kawakami had a take that's like, it's one of those things you do to just kind of let the league know you're a pro player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
I had a buddy that's in the NFL who's a big sports guy, but he's, you know, he didn't watch so much of the Warriors this year. Texted me last night. He said, who's Poole? It's like, where'd they get Poole? I'm like, yeah, just late first round pick. I kind of explained his, like, you know, went to the G League, was not good, kind of like got to roll when Clay was out. They kind of propped him up. And then this year he just kind of took off like a rocket. And his response is like, what a pick. You know, yeah. I mean, he looks like a little Curry Jr., doesn't he? It's different.
Travels but
I
mean, more, but
Steph had one last night. They threw him the ball like half court. He took like two steps and they didn't call it. Like, there's a lot of traveling going on in the NBA.
I know. Steph does the like the three step back Harden. Poole does the like four step backs into a three too. But yeah, it's you know, part of it too is Steph is like this underdog. He was a top 10 pick. But he was, you know, 2 point guards went ahead of him. He was small. Draymond was a second rounder. You know, I think it's like Tim Lincecum, I think in some ways is the most beloved of the group of giant guys, just because he was, it felt like it was against all odds that this person succeeded, even though like Steph, he was, you know, a blue chip prospect in terms of drafted.
Yeah. You're saying Bumgarner 6'5", 230 is not that relatable.
Well, I mean, but at the end of the day, he's your guy. He's your guy in baseball. Yeah, yeah. Just,
no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
It is different. I think it's part of the, you know, and Steph is 6'3". Like, it's not like Steph's 5'11 and a half.
Wasn't Lincecum like the 10th pick in the draft?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was a lottery pick, basically.
Yeah.
But
what was he, 5?
Yeah, might have been higher than 5.
Yeah. Bumgarner and Kane were first round picks, right?
Yeah, all these guys. I mean, it's, you know, it's, but whatever, it's your guy. It's just like you'd rather go run the court at pickup with four of your friends than with, than just walk in, get matched with four people you don't know, but they're the best four players and you guys run the floor. Both of them are fun. Like, you, one isn't less meaningful in terms of value. I'm not diminishing the other championships. I'm just saying it's, well, more fun for fans when it's all the kids from your neighborhood, basically.
Well, we were bullshitting about this yesterday, I think, before we hopped on. Oh, no, we talked about the Yankees for a second. Like, don't you think part of Aaron Judge being pretty cool Yankee is they drafted him? Like, kind of Jeter style and all those guys?
100%. I think, like, do you think the big three Celtics...
Did you know Aaron Judge was a first-round pick?
Yeah, because, I mean, I just remember. Fresno State guy.
For some reason, I thought he was like third or fourth, but I guess, I mean, it makes sense.
Like, I think the big three Celtics, part of it was no one had really like pulled off the big three like that in a while, but, or before, but Paul, they had a homegrown Paul Pierce. And I think that was the center of it.
I also think Kevin Garnett was like, people almost felt bad for him. Like, he had been like 10 years at the shitty franchise. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's like, bro, go get yours. Like, even people that were anti-movement, like LeBron was winning consistently in Cleveland, like making runs. Like,
and he was the hometown kid.
Yeah, it's like, why are you going to leave? Kevin is like, bro, get out of there, man. Leave. You know, it's like when it's a pitcher's on a really shitty team, it's like, I'd love to see this guy on a fucking sweet team, man. It just, he's wasting away all these pitches.
Yeah.
Ray, I mean, Ray was playing on who knows where, right? Milwaukee, I guess, or Seattle.
Where'd he come from? Was it Seattle that he came from?
Yeah, I forget where that. Yeah, I think it was Seattle.
Yeah, the Sonics existed.
They'll exist again.
Tiger, by the time, if you're listening to this Friday, is Tiger still playing golf?
No.
He looked, man, using your club like a cane, basically.
He looked terrible. You know, the Tortorella, you know, over the years, the guys say, you know, that first half, you're just, woohoo, you got adrenaline plus the Tortorella. Sometimes by like that mid-third quarter, fourth quarter, you're like, God, I can feel that shit in my knee right now. Right? The pain, it felt by about hole 12, 13. It's like, can someone get Tiger a cart? I think John Daly drove a cart all day.
Did he really? How was that allowed? He has an exemption?
I think there are exemptions. Like, Tiger's refused. He said he'll never do it.
Ray Allen came from Seattle. I had a buddy who was in Vegas last week and texted a photo, like a group thread of him getting an IV and then said, I got a Tortorella shot after this, like on a Sunday morning recovery turnaround. I didn't know they were giving out Tortorella shots after your IV.
I'd take one.
after right your now. liquid IV.
I do think that I was thinking this today when John Daly for about half the morning had the lead. In golf, listen, no one's comparing it to baseball, basketball, or football. But the cool part about even tennis, it wouldn't even be close to golf because, again, much more athleticism is demanded. But, like, you can be 60 and just have a day where you are as good as everybody fucking playing. Like, John Daly can just shoot 3 under par, right? If John Daly just went to play a pickup golf round with John Rahm and Tony Finau, like, he could beat them. Like, if I get Barry Bonds right now, he might be a bad example. But, like, an older guy that's, like, 65 probably couldn't touch a pitcher, right, that's pitching right now. I couldn't take a 70-year-old former NBA player and he can give me minutes. But, like, that's even tennis. Like, could John McEnroe, like, win a set against, like, one of the top guys? No chance. But in golf, like, 60-year-old Tom Watson just can have a day where he shoots 300 par.
I think the Tom Watson British is still – one of my favorite sporting events ever, even though he didn't win it.
Do you think that devalues golf a little? That's possible?
Or just no, the reality? Because it happens so rarely that anyone actually does what Tom Watson did. I mean, you know, three times a year, Rory Sabatini is leading after one round.
But even he's like 45.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I don't think it devalues it.
Do you think tennis would be closer to those other sports than an older tennis person?
Yes, it's so physical.
Yeah, you got to move back and
the
forth.
The speed of the game, the timing,
I bet they would. And when they say, like, my Achilles might pop when I'm moving like that.
Absolutely.
So, when's the last time you went and hit some tennis balls?
A couple years, probably.
You still got it?
No.
Did you ever have it?
Be better off playing. Maybe I'll make the switch to pickleball, like so many do in their older years.
It feels like there's a lot of – is pickleball really a good workout? Or is it one of those that gets a lot of hype?
I don't know. But it looks like it's like the perfect mix of ping pong and tennis. You know, you're on the board, but it's not that big. 2-on-2, maybe.
Yeah.
So. I started to say something, then lost my... John, before we dive into our next discussion, let's tell the people about... Whoop! Shopify.com/ham. Shopify.com/ham. Right now, get a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features when you go to Shopify.com/ham. That sound you heard, that's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Synchronize online and in-person sales and effortlessly. Got me today. Okay, I can't make funny anymore.
It's not an easy word to say.
Stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. So you gain insights as you grow. You get detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, we all love those, and beyond. And Shopify will grow with you. This is possibility.
Yep.
Powered by Shopify.
Go to Shopify.com/ham, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to Shopify.com/ham right now, lowercase, Shopify.com/ham.
They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Oh, the places ground beef from ButcherBox can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high quality seafood as well that you can trust delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game, and I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I got to tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy Video Lock, and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, Video Lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. And now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look. I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 video smart lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
I was Draymond's king of this. The moment he thinks a foul is bullshit, that's what I do when I don't have my read up.
I love like a Draymond first quarter, let me get a review. And Steve Kerr's like, yeah, I'm not doing that right now.
Well, do you know when he starts doing the review is when he's like laying on the ground?
It's always a charge. You notice that? Yeah. He takes a foul. He commits a foul, ends up on his back. And immediately when Mike Brown was coaching, Mike Brown, immediate review, whatever you want, Draymond.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is like, well, it's 8 minutes into this game. Actually, I think it was the game one. I think he did in the second quarter, but.
Draymond was right about the one he did it on. He barely touched the ball.
Pickleball, fastest growing sport in America, cheap and easy, says G on the stream.
I feel you can throw that out sometimes, the fastest word fastest growing. Like, hey, we're the fastest growing city in America. Hey, this is the fastest growing sport in America. Hey, this is the fastest growing brand in America. And like 99% of the time, it's just not true, but it sounds so good. You're like, God, that's crazy. And you tell your friends about that individual instance that you were told. They're like, have you guys heard that like this is the fastest growing city in America? I did that a lot when someone told me that Nashville for the next year. I just told everyone, you know, Nashville's the best growing city?
Yeah.
Is that actually true? Or
sure. I mean, all you need is like one publication, you know, to declare it. Oregon State's been pumping best college town in America for like, as far as I can remember. Somebody put it in a magazine.
Who said that?
I don't know. Like some magazine.
Well, what college?
Oregon State, John Corvallis.
Yeah, I'd say that's a little bit.
Maybe it was top 10. Maybe it was top 10. But until Arch Manning weighs in on it. I guess he said he had a good time at which one's Ole Miss?
Oxford College. Yeah.
I mean, he's probably been before. He probably knows his way around Ole Miss.
I'd imagine it. Didn't his uncle didn't. I think Eli last year got inducted into their Hall of Fame or just ring on.
That's right, because remember Lane was wearing the jersey with like Eli's number or the T-shirt with Eli's number on it. Lane wears all kinds of stuff, but
that one was an easy one.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
You get notifications from The Athletic? I don't think I turned them off.
I get emails from them, but no.
Got one of those notifications on the phone that said, Arch Manning, is he an overrated prospect? We'll tell you why. I was like, God, that's kind of mean.
We'll tell you why he is or why he's not.
I think the article was like, you know, it's not going to affect his recruiting, but is he actually, you know, this all-time hype prospect?
Can't miss. Interesting.
Has the hype taken off to levels that aren't actually equal to the play?
I mean, it's likely, right?
It feels likely, though, that picture last year or that video that went viral of him playing basketball, I mean, he looks like an NFL body.
Yeah.
But his expectations are going to be pretty outrageous, don't you imagine?
Yes.
Unfair, probably. They are unfair already.
Yeah, I wonder what it was. I think Peyton's expectations we got to Tennessee were sky high.
A little different, though, when you say in the 90s in terms of media and the talk.
It was different in some ways, but I think in other ways it was more focused. You know what I mean?
They were big. I mean, he was
like, he wasn't getting tweets every day, but there were who knows how many knocks on letters. I mean, just the New York Times or whatever, you know, Sports Illustrated. Like there's only like three or four places your face can be. Well, Peyton was it Peyton that was on the cover of SI or
yeah.
Eli? Maybe it was Eli. Maybe they both were. But one of the stories in this article I read the other day in The Athletic about the recruitment of Arch and kind of Eli and Peyton's recruitment was one of the guys. I think it was one of the, I don't remember which kid, which one it was, but it was a big deal. Like high school practice, the SI came out and got like passed around at practice. You know, it was a big deal. Probably was Peyton, but.
The thing with Peyton, I remember watching this bio. Maybe I watched it on YouTube and it was awesome. Just like an hour on a bio on Peyton Manning's Tennessee career. He didn't start right away, but the guy got hurt and he went in and he pretty much immediately lived up to the hype.
Oh,
and
really? I didn't realize he didn't win.
And it was on like Donkey Kong as he started playing. He was so sweet so early. And people forget, people listening might not even have noticed. I wouldn't have. Like in 1994 when he started, he was a good, like he could move.
Yeah.
He was not like just some like stiff, like we think of him in his NFL. He was running. Bootlegs, fucking jumping over people, making throws. He looked badass. He looks sweet. Ironically, they didn't win the national championship under him, and then he goes pro. The next year, they win it with T. Martin, who now is the Baltimore Ravens wide receiver coach.
Does Arch already have a list of teams he won't go number one to? Asked Christian. Are the Lions at the top of his list? That's funny. I mean, honestly, they might be.
Wouldn't shock me. That hasn't happened in a while, though, has it?
No, I don't think it's happened since Eli.
Yeah.
Has it?
No. Like a true, we won't. That used to happen a lot when we were kids. Felt like that was like a major story when we were a kid. Like a player refusing to go somewhere, and everyone just had a hard take. I mean, that's a legit story. I would die for that story now. You know, I mean, we
wanted Trevor Lawrence to have it.
And he didn't ever even got close to it. He's like, hey, I can't wait to go there.
All right, John, here's I put this, if you're on YouTube, there is a poll on the YouTube chat where you can vote. And the vote and the conversation stems from PFF, who ranked the top 25 players under the age of 25 entering the season. And number one on their list is Nick Ellis Bosa. I don't know what his middle name is. Nick Bosa, number one.
He's like a Patrick.
Number two, Herbert. Number three, Jonathan Taylor. Number four, Tristan Wirfs. Then Justin Jefferson, Micah Parsons, Jamar Chase. Those are the top seven.
That's a hell of a list, isn't it?
I mean, if you go through this whole thing, it's like Max Crosby, Chase Young, Rashawn Slater, Brian Burns, CeeDee Lamb.
I had not seen the list. I mean, I had seen the picture of it, the actual list. Listen, I'm already disagreeing with him at one. I'd have to put him at two because the nature of the sport is this: the positions aren't
independent of each other, one is dramatically valued more than the other. Because to me, it would be Justin Herbert one, and then I would rank pass rushers. Like, I would have Micah Parsons right after Bosa. Because you would take Nick Bosa or Micah Parsons before you took one of those two wide receivers from LSU, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes, you would take – I mean, Jamar Chase makes you think. So does Justin Jefferson, honestly. I think Jamar Chase would make me think. I couldn't have Jonathan Taylor ahead of
who says no first? Cowboys, Niners, contracts, you know, even. Both of them, Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons for Jamar Chase.
I think Niners and Cowboys say no to that.
I'm not saying that the Bengals say yes.
The Bengals might say no.
They'd have a meeting.
You couldn't have Jonathan Taylor, you know, like nobody would trade Micah Parsons for Jonathan Taylor.
Well, I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers wouldn't trade Tristan Wirfs. He's an all-pro tackle for Jonathan Taylor. You could argue the Niners might have screwed that one up. We'll see, Kinlaw. The jury's out. Remember?
Well,
they made a little move. They could have just taken Tristan Wirfs. Now, they did have McGlinchey, but...
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of alternate universes. Let me put it to you like this, because they put both... The one argument I could make, I think, for Bosa being number one on the list, because you're right, you would... Of course, you would take Herbert based on the position. Who... positionally relative to their peers at their position, who's closer to number one, Bosa or Herbert? Because I think you could argue Herbert's pretty close to number one right now.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys are really ahead of Nick? One? Miles Garrett?
Yeah. How many guys are ahead of Herbert right now? Like right now today, Aaron Rodgers is ahead of him.
I had people in the NFL that, you know, that in their system had Justin Herbert last year as the fourth best quarterback. And I had talked to someone else that in the fifth. So I think he is... In all, you know, you just evaluate every player in the league like your pro scouts do throughout the season. I would say if we had access to all 32 systems and all grades, I would say his average grade in the league would be around 4 to 5 based on last year, right? Just based on his second year in the league. And I would imagine Nick would be, I mean, closer to one than that.
Yeah, I think Nick would be closer to one than Herbert, but Herbert would be pretty damn close to one.
Yeah. And you would take a top five quarterback any day over any other position, their number one player.
I bet we could find it. What do you think about this? How many GMs? We pull 30 GMs, Josh Allen or Justin Herbert. What do you think the vote is?
I bet Josh just has more evidence. He's so good in the playoffs. I bet Josh would be pretty high. Don't you?
I do, but I think
be because I don't want him. It'd be like, you know, what would be the equivalent? Like Steph Curry, you know, in his prime for 10 years, or Luka for, you know, you would take Steph, but I don't think you'd go wrong with Luka.
What are you watching, First Take? it's true. My point is, I do think there would be some people that would take Herbert. I don't know I'm not saying it'd be 10 of them, but.
Well, right now, even with Trey Lance, would the 49ers do straight up Nick Bosa for Justin Herbert?
I think you'd have to.
You wouldn't even flinch.
How about Nick and Trey and Trey for Joey and Justin?
I would do that yesterday. and I like Nick more than I like Joey.
Nick turns 25 October 23rd. Jamar Chase just turned 22. Tristan Wirfs just turned 23. Herbert.
Pretty good list. I mean, these are really, really good players.
Herbert turned 24 in March.
Where's the little quarterback from Arizona? Is he cracked the list?
Parsons turns 23 in a week. No, he's not on the list. How old is he?
I got him at 24 years old. Kyler?
He's not on the list.
I'm not a Kyler Murray huge fan, but you agree. Would you put him on this list?
Yeah, I don't think you could have.
I don't know if you could have this list without him, right?
Can you have Trayvon Diggs ahead of him?
Can you have Kyle Pitts ahead of him? I mean, come on, what are we doing?
Trevor Lawrence is on it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
Creed Humphrey. Would you take Creed Humphrey or Kyler Murray? Who says no in a trade? But again, I understand it's also difficult to make a list that's not that is positionless. You know, and I think with Nick, the thing with Bosa is I think it's entirely possible that like we're about to see Nick Bosa's career year. that he hasn't had it yet, right? That 15 and a half sacks last year wasn't it. That to me is part of the conversation around this list, not so much the list as we might be about to see the best. We might be, you know what actually the reality probably is? That last year, 2021, was probably the first of like a three-year stretch where Nick Bosa is going to put together the best years of his career.
Honestly, I've been thinking a lot about it. I think Drake Jackson is going to compete to be the rookie of the year. I think their defensive line is going to be so good, and I think it starts and ends with this guy becoming like into his Hall of Fame prime. And when you become the Hall of Fame prime pass rusher in the history of the league, you're an unstoppable force. There is nothing offenses can do to slow you down. We saw that for a while with like Khalil Mack when he was younger, what Aaron Donald has become historically in the league with pass rushers. And he's going to benefit like a lot of those guys have. Like when you play in a good unit, it's like, well, now if Drake Jackson's a really good player, which I think he's going to be really good, they have Armstead. If Kinlaw can just be solid, some of their other random guys that we know are going to be good, why couldn't he guy have 20 sacks?
I mean, what do you have last year? What did I say? 15 and a half?
15 and a half, yeah. And God, he gets close a lot too, doesn't he?
Well, I remember I did the numbers last year. A lot of his sacks come in the second half, right?
Which I would, I mean.
Probably it happens for a lot of teams, but I think a lot of his, I think he had a disproportionate number of second half sacks relative to, I have to go back and look at the numbers, but Watt.
I would say as the season went on, it felt like he got more help because the randoms got better. I would say their defensive line on paper early in the season wasn't that great. It was like just him and Armstead.
Yeah.
You know, because Kinlaw disappeared and fast. D Ford was never around. It was a good unit, but they were not like you look at the team. This was not 2019 on paper, right? Like to me, if you put that Nick Bosa, how good he was last year, on 19's team, he gets 25 sacks, right? With Buckner on.
I mean, 25 is an outrageous number.
But again, we think he's the second best pass rusher in the league, and he was on, like, clearly man to man.
Sometimes that still is 19 sacks, 25 sacks.
Again, that unit was so good. DeForest
all pro. Don't you share some of them at that point?
I'm going 25. No, 25 does seem 22.
Yeah.
Well, if you're 15, it's just you're just a 20. You're 10 more away. You're right. You're just seven more.
Yeah,
a couple halves here and there, and a couple 2 sack games into the single sack games.
Right.
It also depends on your team. You know, you are a little dependent on your team being good, so you can tee off on 10 of the 17 games where you have a 2-score lead in the second half. Right. And that's when you get the feast. So you get 4 2-sack games and just pack up 8 in a group.
Mm-hmm. You might get two in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Khalil in his peak had some of those, right? Where you have the 3-4 sack games. If you're an elite player and you have a couple, you know, like 3 sack games, you just add that onto the total.
Well, let's talk about, since you brought it up, I mean, why don't we go to it? I just pulled it up. Rookie NFL Rookie of the Year odds. There was a toenail ad that was very disgusting, so I X'd that out. Somebody brought that up in the chat. So here we go. NFL. Oh, this is offensive rookie of the year odds. No, I thought I just saw Drake Jackson. Hold on. Yeah, okay. It's not offensive.
Well, there's probably two. There's offensive
defensive rookie of the year odds. There we go. Aiden
Hutchinson. I don't like any of the guys at the top beside Callahan because they all play on shitty teams.
What would you have said about last year's defensive rookie of the year?
He played on a great team.
Micah Parsons.
Great, yeah. Strong, but he played on a 12-win
team. He played on the best offensive team statistically in the league, right? He had a lot of opportunities to make plays.
And he was kicking everyone's ass.
So right now, 50-1, Drake Jackson.
You have to agree. Like
defensive rookie of the year.
Those odds are off. I'm not saying he should be 10-1, but I would put him closer to like 30, 25-1 than 50. If he's going to be on one of the best defenses in the league on a team that should make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
play on shitty teams, guy.
What do you think that it tends to be if I look up right now, defensive rookie of the year, linebacker?
I bet
corners.
There's a decent chance they play, no, pass rushers, you know, linebackers on playoff teams that are racking up 150 tackles. I would be a little stunned if over the last 5-6 years, you're not naming some guys that are on playoff teams.
So it's a lot of first rounders, right? Micah Parsons, Chase Young, Nick Bosa. Those are the last three.
Well, Nick Bosa, Super Bowl team. Chase Young was so good, it didn't matter.
Yep.
But they made the playoffs, though. And
Micah Parsons.
Micah was on a 12-win team.
Darius Leonard, 18. I'm pretty sure he led the league in tackles that year.
As playoff team.
Marshawn Lattimore in 17.
Playoff team, Saints.
Joey Bosa, Chargers, 16.
I don't know if they were a playoff team, but they were, I would imagine if we look, not bad squad. You know, they had a bunch of famous players.
Marcus Peters in 15.
Playoff team, Chiefs.
Aaron Donald in 14.
Shitty, but he was unreal.
Sheldon Richardson in 13. Keekly, Von Miller, Sue, Cushing, Mayo.
You're right. Peewley. So if the elite guy is elite, he's got a pretty good chance. So if Kayvon Thibodeau has 10 sacks, you're just watching him, he has the inside track. But if you are on a playoff team and you're making plays, again, for Drake to get this, he'd probably have to have 11 sacks. Like, I don't think he can get it with 7 sacks and making some plays, right?
Right.
It would have to be a double-digit sack season.
Because we're talking about usually the Defense Rookie of the Year is one of the best players in the NFL that year. It's not like some rookie award, right? I mean, it is, but...
You're right. Yeah, Lattimore. I mean, you're talking like Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, we're talking about like regardless of the defense. These might be Defensive Player of the Year candidates.
Yeah.
Overall.
You're right. So, yeah.
So that's...
Maybe it's a little more difficult than I thought.
Well, but it is also dependent on your class.
So, like, let's say
real quick, John. This is not the Nick Bosa, Chase Young draft. That's the other part of it.
No, but let's say Trent McDuffie.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs win 11 games, and he has 6
picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. He's a Pro Bowler. Like, he would have a very good shot to win it, right?
He would have a great shot to win it. Yep. Like, Trayvon Walker, probably going to be tough for him.
I'd say one of the Packer guys, you know, one of the guys was high 10-1. Quay Walker, the Packers draft in the first round. Like, if he's good and they're a playoff team, he's going to be playing. You're just going to see him with Allen Chris or Tarico and Chris, and he's just going to be in the mix, right? That was part of Micah. The Cowboys were good, and it was like, Jesus Christ, this guy. He was destroying people.
Look who's 8-1, Kyle Hamilton.
I don't hate that. If they're a 13-win team and he has 6 picks and makes some forced fumbles on primetime games.
He just plays like a maniac because he's pissed off.
Yeah, he's greatness. Angry.
That was Ray Lewis, right? Pissed off for greatness.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably pissed off for greatness.
So.
I think John told him he likes these pissed off.
Yeah, but again, you're just talking about value. Like, is Drake Jackson going to end up third in rookie sacks or something
like that? Well, guy, they're playing 5 primetime games. If they win 11 games and their defense is top 5 in the league and they're sacking people left and right, and Bosa gets 18 and he gets 12. Again, I know people that think he is just Google his physical ability off the edge. It's they shouldn't have been able to get him at the end of the second round. This ain't Cleveland Farrell. I mean, I'll promise you that as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
This guy can rush the passer. Now, those other guy, you're right. The name recognition, the names you listed were really, now obviously now we're, you know, some of those guys 5-6 years later, but they felt famous early on too. A lot of those guys were big school guys. This guy is a big school guy, but it does feel like USC doesn't feel like that when he came out.
Yeah, but I also think that what you just said does apply to Micah Parsons, but I think Micah Parsons became a star this year because he was a great, dominant player.
Micah Parsons was in the mix to win the defensive player of the year.
On the Cowboys. Yeah. But, yeah. All right, what do we think of this? I saw this. I'm not sure if Mayoko said this. I'm reading him. I didn't read this. Javier Vega said or tweeted this. Matt Mayoko about Garoppolo. Once he is cleared to play, then I think Garoppolo will ask for his release if a trade isn't materializing. So will he ask for a release? Will the Niners feel any obligation to do what's right by Jimmy? Jimmy hurts himself, unfortunately, by being a good soldier, right? Like, you know who doesn't have to ask to be on another team? Baker Mayfield. Now, he may have to ask the other team to sign him. And actually, as of this moment, he's still on the Browns, so that one's a little awkward. But there's doesn't feel like there's much of a threat of the Browns forcing him to be their backup quarterback this year. Whereas Jimmy's a different story.
Yeah, I think this is twofold. If the Niners feel very comfortable with Trey and they want to get rid of him, they will do whatever. I just think they would be cool with it. If they do not, I feel Kyle Shanahan would easily operate like the PGA Tour with the Saudi And when all those guys asked for their releases, said, nope, he would have Kyle Shanahan if he viewed. Now, if he didn't grant it, it would because he'd want Jimmy around to play, I think. I would say it would start be very hairy if he wouldn't grant him his release. He wanted him around as the backup, and he also wanted to take a pay cut. Then we get into very murky water. Well,
you can refuse the pay cut. That's how you force your release.
Yeah, force them to pay me. Just, yeah, pay me my 27. Keep me on the roster, pay me my $27 million.
Yeah, to me, it's not so much about asking for it. It's, I think if you're the Niners, maybe you grant it to him, but you don't do it until the last day before this, you know, till after your last preseason
September
game.
September 1st or whatever.
When not that Trey Lance is going to play a ton, but when you've gotten through practice and everything's fine, right? Although the irony is, if you cut him, let's say you release Jimmy Garoppolo today, and then Trey Lance got hurt in the first preseason game or in a practice, Jimmy might be available, and he'd cost less than $27 million, actually.
Yeah. I would do zero release until we got to training camp and got a feel after OTAs, and then even the summer, you know, as you text me, or we were on the phone talking about some business thing, and right as you called me, Tariq Cohen had torn his Achilles just working out on Instagram.
Live streaming.
I think I wait at this point in time. There is no benefit to not get through OTAs and then get through summer. I mean, we've seen people blow off their hands with fireworks. We've seen people tear Achilles squatting, you know, 300 pounds. At this point in time, it does not behoove them to release Jimmy till we get to, I would say, on the field, early training camp, and then take it from there. If you want to release him there and he wants a release, we'll have a feel for where we're at. But right now, if I'm the Niners, I would not grant him his release for another month and a half.
Yeah. And the part of it for Garoppolo that's hard is,
or I guess, you know, almost a little over two months till training camp would be reporting, right? Because when do they usually report? Like 25, 28th. It's the 19th. So he's on my team for at minimum two more months. Because again, it's not like I'm paying him right now.
No, well, that's the tough part for Jimmy is like, you want to force your release to a point, but also, what if the alternative is not they ask you to take a pay cut, but they just pay you $27 million, which I don't think is going to happen. But it makes it a little hairy for him because it's not the worst situation for him. There are worse situations for him.
Is there a better situation for Jimmy Garoppolo to start in 2022 than the 49ers?
Well, I mean, ultimately, if someone trades for him, then he's going to be their starter, right? But that spot doesn't exist.
I'm saying if Kyle Shanahan was like, yeah, I've missed on Trey, you're going to be my starter. Is there a better situation for Jimmy in the NFL?
No. No, his chances of success are higher as a 49er.
And I get it. I mean, Matt put this out, but I think this conversation we've been having about Jimmy obviously is a hypothetical, but there is a lot of information that we're going to gain, I think, over the next less than a month to add context to this conversation. Like, this conversation is not going away, but it's missing this piece of what everyone's itching, this Trey Lance. Well, I mean, I hope, when are we getting a schedule here, 49ers? The next couple weeks they're on the field, he's really what they're talking about. Because I would imagine Nick staying in Florida, Trent Williams nowhere to be found, Debo's fucking kickboxing somewhere. I saw him.
He was live on Instagram a second ago.
Yeah, live on Instagram. So it's like, I don't expect any of those guys to be there except Trey and like Ayuk.
Yeah.
Debo, you know, make sure you know, came out a little chubby a couple years ago. I don't know. I assume you're working out, but
confident. He's filming from below, which is a confident angle to film from.
You know, I've seen some, you know, Shady's part of the I Am Athlete now. You know, listen, Shady's getting a little
Sean
bigger.
Sean McCoy.
You seen some pictures? You got a little chubbier.
Well, I saw the picture with
I love the guy, but you know,
who was it posted the photo? At first, I thought it was Debo. Debo's a little taller, I think, right?
Debo's taller. Debo's a little more muscle bound than Shady, but Shady always had this, like, you know, let's just be careful what we're eating. And this was at like 25. Him and Debo have similar metabolisms for elite athletes. They're actually closer to me and you than they would be like LeBron, you know? Yeah, but you watch them both play, like Shady could rush at any game for 200 yards. Debo can just dominate. It's like, but they're not like Nick Bosa, you know, when he takes his shirt off, you're like,
yeah,
just what is going on there? Even Trent Williams is just like this freak. Debo and Shady have this, honestly, kind of relatable quality. You know, they can get a lot of athletes. I bet there are a lot of guys like Fred Warner. No one's ever been like, he can get chubby. You know, like no
watch what you eat.
Like,
well, Fred might put on 3 pounds. You wouldn't see it.
No, I would imagine the majority of Niners, non like D tackles and guards, the word chubby and like, oh, you know, you got a little, never comes up in there. Like Jimmy Ward. Do you think anyone's ever said Jimmy Ward? Like, you know, Jimmy, he put on that flabby five.
Well, even some offensive linemen, right? Like Joe Staley, keeping weight on was his issue.
Well, it feels like a McGlinchey problem, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're actually incredible athletes. Like when you see an offensive lineman in person, you realize that part of the way you perceive them is that they wear these really tight uniforms. But in fact, a lot of them are not flabby body types by and large.
No, they're enormous human beings. Honestly, when you stand next
to proportional.
I swear to God, I was at the Starbucks. I almost said something to him. Was there something going on? Was there Pac-12 meetings in the Bay Area lately?
Yeah, yeah.
Is Tony Boselli part of the Pac-12?
Well, he went to USC. He might be an advisor. There's a player council. He's probably on it.
I swear to God, he didn't look like any other human even remotely in the Starbucks. But then I looked at him. I typed in his name. I mean, it was damn close. He's 6'7". Yeah, you know, he's huge. Yeah. I was like, that's Tony Boselli. But then I was thinking, like, the only reason he'd probably be here at Pac-12, but is he part of the Pac-12? I didn't know.
I bet he's on it.
Just look like a high-level guy, you know, getting just a large coffee.
Yep.
But you just see this human being, you're like, what the fuck is that compared to me? Like, if we walked into the same place at 35 years old, like, in what world would that woman choose me? I would tell her, like, yeah, I don't blame you.
The general definitely wouldn't choose you for the mission, right?
No, I would choose Tony Boselli.
Send him, and not because I'm afraid, just because I want
to. Have you seen those feet on that guy? It was 100% Tony Boselli.
Yeah, it must have been. I mean, how many people? Tony Boselli's got a pretty handsome guy.
How many 6'7", like proportionate, in shape looking humans exist?
And he looks like Tony Boselli.
Identifiable. Yeah. He had the Anthony Munoz younger vibe. You know, just looks sweet.
How were his pinkies? Pointing straight.
I didn't check the hands. Didn't check the hands though.
You were asking me a college.
Tony, let me see your hands.
Oh, Anthony Munoz has a crooked pinky. How about you? You were asking me a college football postseason question before we started the podcast today.
Oh yeah, someone forwarded me yesterday my thoughts on, I guess the Pac-12, their championship game, like the Big Ten or like the SEC, just pitted the South and the North. You know, in the SEC, it's the East and the West. In the Big Ten, it's the two conferences. They have that funky name. It's naturally how it works. The Pac-12, I guess, starting next year, is going to go based on win percentage. I take it in the conference, not total win percentage. Is that okay?
Starting this year, they're actually going to do it. So there's still divisions this year. I give them credit because they're like, we want to change it. Let's change it right now instead of let's wait 2 years or, you know, generally that's how those things work.
Yeah.
But I think it's hard to make an argument to keep divisions other than, well, you know, there's two arguments. You maintain some of the divisional rivalries if you have historical divisional rivalries. And also, if you're a team that usually doesn't win the league, you'd rather have divisions because then you finish third instead of like sixth, right?
Yeah.
But
they want to make it so basically like Alabama and LSU would be able to play each other in the SEC.
Yeah, you just want your two best teams from a television standpoint. It's better to have your best teams in the championship game, right? From just a value of your title game, it's better to have two top 15 teams playing each other instead of a top 15 team and an 8-5 team from the
if Oregon side. And Washington are sweet or USC and Utah are sweet, you'd want them playing.
Well, like
twice.
The first year of the Pac-12, Oregon and Stanford were both 8-1 in the league and top 12 teams, whatever it was.
And only one got.
But one of them, I think Oregon had beaten Stanford head to head or the other way around, whichever. They played like, I don't even remember who it was out of the Pac-12 South.
Yeah, I went to Mariota's year when they went to play Jameis and went to the national championship when they played the Pac-12 at Levi's. You know who they played?
USC, UCLA.
They played a Rich Rod Arizona team and they beat the shit out of
them. So that's what it was. SC won the South, wasn't eligible. Arizona replaced them. But even SC shouldn't. SC was, Stanford, Oregon were both better than SC that year.
Yeah. They played an Arizona team that was like 7-5, right, who wasn't right. any good, and they killed them.
A few years ago, remember when Washington beat Utah like 10-3 in the title game?
Yeah.
What it would have been was a rematch of the Apple Cup, which was top 10 Washington State, top 10 Washington.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event. Sporting events, college or pro. Concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So they want that.
Which was the game that was in the snow. Yeah. Once you get to the playoffs, you really want it to happen once there's a college football playoff, because you don't want a bad team upsetting your good team and getting the automatic bid.
So what's the risk in doing this?
Well, I guess the only risk is that it's more likely that your higher ranked team loses.
Why wouldn't every conference do this then?
Well, you used to not be able to until this year. They just passed a rule a few weeks ago. The rule used to be that if you're going to have a conference title game, you had to either have divisions or round robin play. So like the Big Ten has had the Big 12 has had a conference title game because it's only had 10 teams. And so everybody plays everybody.
Gotcha.
But that's the only league. Well, the AAC's done it, but they had.
So that's why you get a lot of, I mean, well, I guess every year you get a rematch in the Big 12. Like the teams have already played in the Big 12. Yeah. Like Baylor last year and Oklahoma State had already played.
There's no divisions. And they play each other.
And it works.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is where like, ultimately, smaller leagues are good because you want everybody playing everybody. Like the SEC is so huge now.
Would you want, though, the possibility, would this be cool? And this could happen like Alabama, Auburn, USC, you know, UCLA, Michigan, Ohio State to then just have a rematch a week later. Would that be a little weird?
Yeah, but I mean, think about the Pac-12 had it. It was Utah, Oregon rematch like 2 weeks later last year. It was 2 weeks.
But a part of it, what I'm talking about specifically is the rivalry game. So if the rivalry game, those are your two best teams, you know, before, like when Michigan, Ohio State, like last year, they're playing to go. Like those were the two best teams in the conference. Yeah. Last year, if they would fall under this, they would have replayed. You know, Auburn, Alabama probably doesn't happen as much.
When is it bad to have your rivalry game replayed?
Well, like you're giving the example of that Leach-Peterson situation would have been cool, right? Yeah.
I think more rivalry games always better. And ultimately, the reason you're in the game is because you're one of the two best teams. I mean, think about the ACC championship game is irrelevant because it's always Clemson against the coast, whoever's from
Pitt.
The Big Ten championship game has been a little bit of a downer, it's felt like, because it's always like, well, here comes Northwestern.
Yeah.
I remember watching, was it last year Northwestern was in the game? Was that last year or two years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
When it was like, and now here come, because Gus does the introductions, it's Ohio State. Now, here come the champions of the Big Ten East or West or whichever it is, because they changed the I don't know the
champions,
but it's like, come on, you know. So I think it's good for the sport because you just get you better games. Because last year Oregon, they were both top, at least top 20, if not top 15 teams. So
they beat the shit out of them,
and that was incredible that they had done it twice.
That was definitely. I turn on my AC. I'm so hot right now. I think I might have a stroke.
Get the hoodie on.
I'm good with whatever makes it really cool.
I think it's cooler, and I think it's better for TV. It makes your game better.
Was last
better
year run. In Vegas?
Last year was in Vegas. Yes, and it looked awesome.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be in Vegas moving forward, right? I mean,
that's the other part of it. It's like you know, make your championship game as attractive as possible.
Just there's a win for the Raiders. They stole the championship game away from Jed.
That's right.
You know, they did. Sleep on Mark Dealmaker. Might have been Mark Bedain's swan song on his way out. Him and Kuklovskov. How do you say his last name?
Who's George? Last name? Oh, Kliavkov.
Kliavkov.
Yeah, Pac-12 commish. So, all right. As we record this, how are you looking on Tom Hoagie? John had Tom Hoagie 95-1, first round leader.
Yeah, he finished. I mean, Rory's going to be the first round leader. So no first round leaders for me.
I think Rory can win.
I do have a lot of bets sprinkled. I feel like Tiger kind of had Rory swagged out. Like, kind of Rory is in a good place mentally and was just kind of vibing off the crowds. And it, Jordan was kind of going the other way. Like, kind of felt like he just played. When Jordan's off, Jordan. he just looks like a pitcher when he's fucking a little off.
Yeah.
Rory felt like, I'm fucking Tiger Woods. Right? Did you notice his body language, the way he was walking around, strutting? Now, he's also hitting 370-yard bombs.
He was hitting the ball like Bryson, if Bryson's consistent.
He was hitting drive. I saw someone list his drives. Now, granted, me and Hawkins talk a lot about this. There are fairways. You can even if you're listening to this, you play a country club, let alone a Muni or a random course. Your fairways don't run that much. Their fairways run like fucking 50 yards.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the slope. They have them cut so perfectly. It's like a runway. So it's like, is Rory hitting 370-yard drives? No, but he's hitting a 330. Then he gets 40 yards a run.
Tiger, he hit one 311 into the wind and uphill.
Yeah, obviously, he's long. I mean, he's the longest, one of the longest guys there. But he's some of these number. Tiger hit a stinger today, 275 yards. It's his 4-iron. I mean, he's running 50 yards. It's just
incredible.
So it's a little, I would say, skewed that way for these guys. But I'm glad it is. It makes it cool to watch.
I want to mention, because Dustin put this in the chat and he gave us $5 to do it. Michael Jordan wasn't drunk, by the way. He has some eye liver condition that results in yellow eyes.
Are we sure? That's what
Dr. St. Peter has to say. I don't know. I'm not sure. Are we sure? I'm not sure, but that's just what Dustin said.
I feel like I see his eyes and they look normal. Maybe he's got sunglasses on a lot. Maybe you're right.
Hey, go leave us a review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and we appreciate that. 5 stars. In that, leave us a question. That's how you get in the Haberman and Middlecoff mailbag. And if you're watching on YouTube, like this video, subscribe to our channel. That helps us grow. Thank you. Our podcast is down in the description below on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast and you didn't know we had a YouTube, the YouTube link is in the description of the podcast. So go check that out.
Share with your friends, share with your enemies, share with your people.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for hanging. We'll be back soon. You know, who knows when.
There's nothing like I was saying, great weekend. It's only Thursday.
I know. Well, I realize we might have a, anyway. Yeah.
Podcasters. No, but I mean, it's just, can't take that for granted. You know, you gotta be grateful. Gotta have some gratitude. It's the life we live.
Shouts out to all of you that help us lead this life. Thank you for being a part of it. All right. Thanks, everybody. Later.
Yeah.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.